Rose taught piano frequently, and his pupils included famous classical pianist Roxana Chu Lee and jazz and ragtime pianist Peter Klute, who in 1997 recalled for me Wally's importance to the worldwide rediscovery of ragtime.
It's clear that Wally's made a big contribution to American music, helping bring back ragtime, and was certainly one of the key players in the West Coast traditional revival movement.
Yeah, he's influenced a great number of piano players. I think probably he will go on influencing them because his recordings, they're now available on CDs. I know the Good Time Jazz records are, and the San Francisco Jazz Foundation has put out one or two.
So, can we define the ragtime era, what, 1890s to maybe about, what, World War One, publishing period of
the
ragtime?
The first published rag was about 1899, and then the First World War came along, and it probably ended when jazz began in about 1917. There were rags written after that time, and there's some written today by some of the scholars of the music. But for the most part, the ragtime era had ended about 1917, and the jazz era had begun then. Although the early piano players in most of the jazz bands had a ragtime background, and Waters had always figured that the piano player with the band had to be a ragtime piano player in his band, and also in early New Orleans music.
Is it safe to say that ragtime, at least as a published form, began with Joplin and some of his fellow composers in and around the Sedalia, Missouri area?
Yeah, that's probably where most of it began. It proliferated quickly. I don't know how quickly this music can get around, because you find that the first rag was published in 1899, and then again you find rags that are dated 1899 from clear the other side of the country. So you wonder how, with communication, you know, not quite as rapid as it is today, that everybody could jump on something at the same time. I haven't figured that out yet. There were a lot of good rags written in England, and of course it would take you almost a week to cross the Atlantic, so it did take a little longer for it to catch on over there.
Mm-hmm. So this was a classical music in that it was written down. It wasn't a folk music. It somehow evolved, we don't know quite how, and then it suddenly appears on the scene very rapidly.
As soon as it becomes a little bit popular, then what we call Tin Pan Alley grabbed it and started making it available in a very simplified form to any act or musical group that could use it. They plugged it and tried to get people to play it. Irving Berlin came along with his Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, come on in here, it's the best band in the land. Now you can hear the bugle call like you never heard before. Makes you want to go to war. It's just the best it's been, my friend. Come on in here, come on along. Let me take you by the hand.
At one time, there was maybe, what, 50 or 100 different composers who wrote rags in the classic era of ragtime?
Oh, there are probably that many, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years go on, you know, every little town had a publishing company, and Aunt Minnie's uncle composed a rag and published it himself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then at some point, the technology of the player piano allowed for the dissemination of the music.
The player piano allowed people such as myself, of course, at a slightly later age, to take a roll of a rag, and by slowing the speed down to nothing and keep pedaling it with the keys down, you could find out what they were playing. The problem was, to make a roll sound good, they had to add notes and all, and sometimes it was very difficult to try and play these tunes because it was obvious that there were three hands on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Player piano was like a jukebox, and it got into all the bar rooms and anywhere, and of course it was an accompaniment to singers, and it had all sorts of functions.
It seems like at some period by perhaps the mid-20s that the player piano had died out as a major form of entertainment, that rags were not being published or put on record as an important form, and it seems to have almost completely disappeared for a decade and a half or so. And then I guess Wally is one of those who is credited with bringing back awareness of ragtime. His music became known around the world.
Yeah,
he recorded quite a bit, I understand, very prolifically, something like 100 albums.
He's well known all over the world, and probably for the same reason that I liked him, you know, other people liked him, and he had a style that was all his own, and it was something fresh and that people hadn't heard, I suppose, for years. And people I know in, we've been to Australia and Europe and Japan, and everybody who likes jazz over there just automatically knows him. They're very familiar mm-hmm. with his work.
Pete, I know people have enjoyed your music over the years, your many years with Turk Murphy, and your work today. Thanks for taking time out to share some of your memories of Wally Rose.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks again.